I'm starting to take any company. I haven't told him.
I had my adrenaline. No.
It's a matter.
Well, Kennedy said this morning on the Senate floor that the United States was purposely bombing Dan's advice at North Vietnam, that we were pursuing this policy.
Right.
He said, even though they may say it's inadvertent, that it's still bombing Dan's advice. So I was asked that question by Reuters this morning, and I acted like I hadn't heard about it before. And I had Ralph Harris, a questioner, said, now specifically, what did the senator say on the Senate floor? He went, you know, through the thing. And I hit it pretty hard. And, you know, I said, the President of the United States in his office made it clear that we are not pursuing a policy of bombing the Dan's advice. So recently, we had released very extensive intelligence material and data on the entire matter, explained that the 2,700 mile dike and dams got, you know, and the scope of damage that would have occurred to lead to flooding. And I hit the propaganda thing. I said, I don't care where it said or who said it. Statements like this are irresponsible,
right,
or uncalled for. And I said, cannot help but increase the enemy propaganda effort which they are waging. I said, there's no question about the fact you guys have been around for a long time, and every year there's flooding in North Vietnam. The propaganda campaign is so clear, I said, that they want to blame the flooding on the United States. So I went through that line.
Right.
I think he deserved it.
Oh, sure, commission. I believe him. I asked, I don't know why he's Mr. Kennedy's. He must have in his staff a real lefty, because he throws this out and all, and he pumps on all like that. Someone's pushing it. He goes on the staff stuff. He makes a speech.
I spotted him. I understand that.
But I'll tell you, he's not going to be good experience.
No.
He's not going to be a good show. Presidency is the highest office given to the people. The vice presidency is the next highest and the lowest. It ain't exactly a crime. You can't be sent to jail for it, but it's kind of a disgrace.
I bet they love that.
Huh? My goodness, so
yeah, I would like to.
I told them.
Careful, man. at one stage said, well, look, now, it's like Senator Sanders, look, Sanders has been a bagman for the Republican Party, former cabinet member for a long time. Hasn't the president gotten together with him or talked to him about it? I have a right to ask you a question recorded in the transcript. I did not report the same one, given to the attitude of the president that we have about this matter. That was after his question about Dan Dykes. Where Pierpoint said, speaking of propaganda, he said, does the president have a reaction to Senator Scott's suggestion that he receive the Nobel Peace Prize? And I said, I don't understand your question, Mr. Pierpoint. He said, what is it you're trying to say? And he said, well, let me rephrase the question. And he said, does the president, I said, I've never heard the president talk about it or even comment on it, not hearing anyone. So they were in a little rumbly mood today. I guess they have. Not all of them. They didn't follow up.
Don't you think they have to react?
They
have a couple, and also they're very worried about the event. Boys, it's not worrying.
They all did. This was only Pierpoint, he was agitating this morning. So we went through that.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
But the dams and dikes.
$25,000, I think it's just going to be with us for a while. Just keep running. It's one of those things. Yeah, I'm sure the one thing that you're very solid, very solid on this. But I've said about it, that's correctly. Nothing about the finance. Nobody at a higher level, as far as we know, nobody at a higher level committee. But it's quite clear, it's people who are level screwing around.
Don't say that.
No.
You can't say that, because we're all being not. That's being investigated, but we're asking to cooperate.
I've also been very, kind of relaxed on this from time to time. They'll ask about, well, the president said he wouldn't be campaigning until after the convention. He's meeting with young people. I said, that's not campaigning. That's totally consistent with what the president said.
They met with about issues.
I said, if the president's met with McGregor, he's met with Mitchell, he meets with a lot of people to talk about things. But I mean, the posture I'm taking is being
that's
very.
That's why we didn't have a press photo of that's right. However.
But to be very relaxed about it, guys come into my office and when's the president going to start his campaign? I said, the president of the United States believes in what he's doing, where he's going, both domestically and foreign policy. He's going to speak to the issues starting now. We're not going to be superficial about the thing of one day we're going to say we're going to start a campaign. I think that's the right posture to take, don't you?
Sure. The way I use that is to say that. Say that I'm trying to pin something on the Biden presidency. Maybe just do it on your own.
I can handle this with a simple R.
Yeah. I'll say this. You're a good chat, man. Reminded of one of Alvin Barber's favorite story. Because of all the discussion about all these discussions, one of Alvin Barber used to kid his kid about the vice presidency. This is one of his favorite stories. He looked it up. If you looked it up, I said, I recall he made some story using a derogatory. He did about the vice presidency.
Rugged, rugged, Many times I gave it to Beckman just the other day.
What's that?
East and West, West and other points you'll meet, when two great men face to face in the opposite. I can't recall my memory, but it is very reflective of your
visit to
the People's Republic of China.
Everybody knows the line east is east and west is west, and never the point from me. Nobody knows the next two lines that follow, which are, except.
When two great men.
Two strong men.
Strong men meet face to
face.
Although they come.
Though they come from the ends of the earth, or something like that.
But they use that type of thing where oftentimes they'll use a quote at the top of their story in italics.
Yeah.
And then they'll weave their story, and that's what Beckman was doing for the trade.
You can get the I will get that. Why are we getting another way to it?
It's legitimate though for them to come after you on the 25.
They have to answer the question.
Sure,
they
have to answer.
But I think
we don't need to.
They don't have. It's legitimate, but Pierpoint deserved to be cut off.
That's right.
They said that the president has heard from Pakistan. I said, look, the president of the United States, far as I know, has not discussed this.
I have standard regards.
I said, secondly, he has confidence in saying, should this president feel the law should remain? I said, of course he does. Does the president feel the proper procedure should step in? I said, of course he does. Absolutely. But when Pierpoint calls saying,
we want to get the bag.
A long time bag.
When we get it's our words. Suppress this. We got another time going. We have cooperating on the investigation. Right?
That's cool.
Fired the only guy that the whole line is that everybody's been directed to cooperate. There's no way else on. Everybody's been directed to cooperate. They don't cooperate, they have no jobs. And the investigative agencies are going forward with the investigation. It's very thorough. Right? It's still grand jury, still being crimes. We want to suppress them to stop it.
Clearly identified. On the back, they pulled the picture out of the file. And on the back of the picture, it gave the date that the picture was taken, which was 5 years ago, 1967. So he explained that, but that's
British.
The bastards, they got caught so blatantly in it that they had to untie from it, I guess. And they probably figured they better cut their losses by running a total explanation and apology rather than getting hung up on it. Unless we hit them, which we may.
They keep bringing them. They bring up the LaBelle thing. And he says, President Compton, no one's going against his policy. I said, the president is Compton. But the people that, you know, are.
If you were to pull a country, 85% of them would say, bomb the goddamn shanks. These assholes out here were wrong on May 8th and they're wrong about the dikes. I don't care what Kennedy said. I said, stand right there. Sure, we're going to go. We're going to kick these bastards in the ass. On that point, I'm confident. Even Harris in his poll this morning, well, they say we haven't ended the war, that the amount of support for mining the harbor is higher now than when we did it. I got that. The people are tough. And that's bite and die bombing at these bleeding hearts. You just it's the people that nominate McGovern. I mean, they're listening to their own voices. That's all. Their own prejudices, the hell. I wouldn't let them whine and whimper and, you know, I'm soft headed and take their psychiatric treatment. Should I get their own coach? We check with Ehrlichman if he's around and see where he is. Mr. Seagull, I think he's here. Just see if he's not in the kitchen right now. Yeah. I thought it was a crisis in this valley of the beach, maybe.
Yeah, let's just talk to the office with
I was wondering if you had any further information on Hyde.
Yes, I do. I just saw the paperwork on it. Very interesting. This is entirely a Peterson operation. Schultz was dead set against it.
That's what I, as I said, because it was restricted. Remember, I said, is this Schultz? Because he's supposed to be in charge of such things.
Well,
he's the head of the economic man.
This was operated entirely out of commerce. Peterson had a breakfast to which he invited Stein, Cashin, two or three other people around here.
Right.
And it was pretty well decided there. It was never sat through here.
Yeah.
And apparently under the statute, he has the capacity to do it.
Well, let me ask you this, with the bus.
I don't know. I don't know whether it was or not. I'd have to go back and look at the list.
You heard me, he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a beauty.
Well, he was consulted, I know. But whether he was there or not, I don't know. In any event, Peterson apparently came to the conclusion it was a close call. And then he simply informed a lot of people over here, Flanagan and others, that he had done this, sent them a copy of the press release. So it was very much a unilateral operation. And that's how we, didn't know anything about it. Silva, I asked Schultz what he thought about simply reversing it. He said, well, I think Congress is going to do that for you. He said,
oh, the hell with it. Why did that?
Well, it's passed the Senate, passed the House. And he said, there's just almost nothing left to do.
Well, it's passed the House. And passed the Senate.
Well, I'm checking that now. George says it's passed both houses. I don't know that. And just before I came downstairs, I asked if they checked that for me to see.
There's no way we can get credit.
No.
Oh.
And if that's so, if it's not so, and it's only passed the House, George strongly recommends that we simply rescind it. He says it was a mistake to begin with, and
we can't be lined out with this passage.
Oh, sure. We'd call Carl Lewis, I think, would be the best.
Try that. Yeah, Henry can use my name and do it with him, but he also
got that. I've got appointments. I saw Schultz this morning, we see Arthur this afternoon, and can't see Conley on Monday. But, yes. Schultz says two things. Number one, that prices are getting better and will get better the closer we get to the election. He's very confident that food prices will consistently improve without controls. Now, he says the perception of another proposition. And he says he wouldn't try and talk you out of controls. He feels that if you do freeze, the day to day is August 15th.
Yes.
And he says he'd want to be recorded as being against the idea of a freeze because of so many negatives that are associated with it, because he's not persuaded that there's a substantive need, but nevertheless he recognizes the political aspect. Incidentally, he said he would cause O'Brien to be audited, and that's underway. So we had a very good session. And I would say that by close of business Monday, I'll know everything that I can know.
I'll get back to you on the phone.
Yeah, I'm sure
O'Brien will be being audited.
It's old, he'll know. He'll know it.
If he'll audit.
They'll call him in.
I'll call him in on the basis of the.
So I explained to George what I wanted to do with
the investigation that he was saying.
Yeah. Normal course of events.
Without the investigation, we have to know what you're about.
And he said he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure about they're broken down into regions, and this investigation is being conducted out of the region, out west. So he said they'll have to bring an agent in out there to conduct the investigation. That's what the file is in my office.
I was also going to ask you about your evaluations of that dollar run thing and so forth.
Statement by
he mentioned today. Yeah. It was an interesting. I had a call yesterday to get him later on the group, and he said, you know, I've been
the reporting campaign. No, but I say, you know, if there were a home office bank account and a branch bank account, deposit in the branch is the same as deposit in the home office. I don't know whose turn Hughes on with this. I imagine Califano knows him as well as we do. Yeah, but I mean, somebody's been talking the same.
Who turned Hughes onto the line that Gibb was, of the, you know, the Hughes statement about when the data, the fact of data we give you, Califano could have got into that.
Yeah.
The effective data of gift, in my opinion, is when the guy gives it. It's a question of who you do. That's the agent. The dogger is the contributor.
That's the agent. The agent of the
dogger is the contributor. Dogger is the collector.
Yeah,
gift was a board, and I think that's where it's going to be. You give a check day to day for quarters,
and it doesn't get in the mail or something, it doesn't get around to being deposited until April 20th.
No, I don't think so. April
20th.
Sure, but that isn't the fact here. This was cash money. There was nothing to be negotiated here. The agent took delivery of cash on such a date. I think that's the clear
thing.
If you take delivery of a check, I think it'd be arguable that until the check were negotiated.
I see.
Then there'd be a question.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't constant. It would always be a check that I would think would be an offer. Wrong.
Sure, I'll say
that.
That's right.
When you give a guy cash, it's gone, it's gift, done. Anyway, I think it's the best thing to get the damn thing out fast.
Yeah.
You do it now.
Andreas, I would.
Well, I was
going to
follow up.
Clark, I would guess, would be the guy to follow up on that, wouldn't he?
I think he almost has to. Well, Andreas is the one that talked to him. He's going to talk to Clark.
Can't think of any.
You talked to Dean. I haven't talked to Dean.
Well,
but anyway, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. You take the money.
That's right.
It's going to cash. Right.
Yeah. I think it's going to come out because it's beyond our control. This guy plays both sides. I understand he is, but he's talking to the other side.
Well, he wants to come. He wants to come on this, and I very much agree.
Yep.
To say you made a contribution to cash, and I would say
yep.
You made a delivery before for that reason.
Well, Bob's point is that explains away the $10 million.
Explains away the cost.
Yeah.
Sure, it gives you a basis for why right now we have a tough time saying why won't you answer. Why won't you tell us who they are? Sure, you legally don't have to, but why do you want to hide it?
Yep.
Now we've got one reason for why we want to hide it. Because the contributors want to do it.
Right.
Why? Because they're Democrats who support Democrats.
I think you should say that without expressing it.
I don't know that I agree with the statement. Just look back and say it.
You know where Magruder gets up?
No, I don't.
How will he testify?
That he instructed Sloan to make money available to Liddy. He did it on the basis that Liddy was engaged in making sure that there were no demonstrations at the convention and for doing certain
security
at the headquarters and all that sort of thing, and the morale and that thing and other. That from time to time, he was vaguely aware that Sloan was making disbursements to Liddy, and he assumed Liddy was doing what he was told, but that he was never given an accounting as such from Sloan. Didn't follow
that's
us,
right.
Busy with other things, and made a number of assumptions. But after this happened, he discovered that Liddy had grossly exceeded the scope of his employment, fire.
How does Sloan, Sloan
has been promised immunity, and he has not testified yet before the grand jury. He's only, thank you, he has only talked to the U.S. Attorney and the Bureau. And he's given it. Why did they?
Why did they?
Because he said he'd take a Fifth Amendment otherwise. And he felt he was key.
He's not going to testify before the grand jury.
Yeah.
Well, Sloan is.
Yeah. He has to now.
He's been there.
No, no. He was there very briefly. As soon as they learned that he was going to take the Fifth, they pulled him off. They brought him in for a conference with his attorney. They asked him, he said he was going to take the Fifth because of technical violations of the Campaign Spending Act or Campaign Financing Act. So they granted him immunity. And then they've been interrogating him in the office. They've not taken him back.
You sure?
Well, it's been three, 4 days.
I thought it was like last Friday. Is he going to say that he's was aware of all of this? Is that right?
No. He's going to say that he was told by Magruder to...
So he put the whole thing on Libby.
Give Libby the money, and he did.
He was just caught him.
And what he did in... keeping unrecorded cash and handing it out and so on is a violation. There's no question about that. Maury Stans' face is very long because some of this obviously comes back to him. This Sloan couldn't possibly have done all the things that it's clear he did without Maury having some knowledge of it.
Maury at all?
Well, he undoubtedly had some knowledge of the fact there was a lot of cash.
Maury didn't have any knowledge. I would be very surprised if Maury had any knowledge of what was being done with the cash.
Oh, I agree with that totally. The first knowledge. I'm talking about the technical violations of the Campaign Spending Act.
Maury had full knowledge of that, I'm sure.
Now
he knew there was cash there, and he knew that they were using it for intelligence and dirty tricks business. He knew that Liddy was the guy that was doing that, and he knew that it was X chunks of money. Maury doesn't let money go out without knowing about it.
Well, oh, here's it. This is the Hyde thing. Yeah. There's no conference on it. The other half of the bill is with regard to the CIEP, and that's laid over, so you won't have it down here to sign for a while.
Well, Maury isn't pretty strong. They got to call Maury.
No, they're not. We've made sure they aren't. They did, and we stopped it. I woodshed at Klein Beans.
What basis?
That it's very embarrassing to you that this guy's not just some bohunk off the street. He's a former cabinet officer. He'd be subject to all kinds of notoriety. He has any way of protecting himself against the inferences. And that it just would raise hell with a campaign. And it just couldn't happen.
Well, certainly I hope that's the same view with regard to Benjamin.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And in fairness to Klein Beans, this took place while he was out of town by one of his guys who exercised some bad judgment.
In calling
and subpoenaing Maury. So we're on top of that, and Maury is not going to be required to do anything to be in the state. But he'll handle himself very well, I'm sure. At the same time, he's quite long in the mouth about the whole chilling effect this has on his ability to raise money. Very happy that he doesn't have to go see the grand jury.
states now is that nobody's going to get indicted except the burglars and Lydian Hunt.
And Hunt fights like hell.
Well, they all plead not guilty, and there are no trials until after the election. Yeah.
That all the burglars plead not guilty?
Burglars are all going to plead not guilty.
Right.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. But that's what they're going to do. And make a fool.
Let me ask for the improvement thing. I told him, I said, you know what? I think that helps. In the back, Brown was out trying to shoot the president, followed him in the camp, and all of them down here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reaction.
And I quote Red Bremer's diary, it is a federal document. It would make, the guy can sell, he's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He can make a super bestseller out of that. All you have to do is type it up. It's a spectacular piece of writing. Sick as hell. It's very, it's interesting, disgusting, sickening.
But,
the guy's all screwed up sexually. He's got that fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great detail.
In exquisite detail. He writes like a novelist. And
it's obviously the best way to get him on.
Yeah. He goes to New York and he wants to get a girl. Goes into a massage parlor, one of these, you know, prostitution places.
Yeah.
And, well, he didn't.
She massaged him in the right places, but she wouldn't do any more than massages.
And he writes us all in very, well, not really lurid, such believable prose.
It's sort of flow of consciousness.
Yeah.
It's not... stylistically, it's quite, it's very well done in that kind of style.
And when he's trying to get from Michigan to Canada and take these guns, he's afraid that when he gets to the border, he'll be searched. So he goes to these elaborate ends to hide his guns. And of course, there isn't any search. And he talks about his reaction to that and how easy it was to get across the border and all that kind of stuff.
Fascinating episode. He's in a motel and he gets the gun out and is checking it and shoots it. He just checked into the motel and he's getting checked and goes by accident. He shoots it and shows an interesting line about scared him to death. This is the guy in the motel that he's going to come in and catch me with the gun. Now he runs over and flips on the television. Turns it up and he says, fortunately, it was a war movie going on with a lot of shooting, and I figured I was okay, you know, because she came in and just said, it was the TV. He turns it real loud.
He worried about where the bullet went. That bothered him for the whole rest of the book. But
never did find out where the bullet went. Actually, was it going to Canada? Yes.
There's no question about it.
And he parked, and why the hell? It was very easy.
No. It was very hard for him because of the demonstrators.
Pissed off as hell about that. But anyway, they bought me.
Sure.
It's obviously true because having been there, I talked about he parked at a gas station on that road along the riverway when you were driving over to the guest house and got all set up there to shoot you from his car. Then other people parked in front of him and ruined that, so he got out to shoot you from the street and he was all ready. Your car went by so fast he couldn't find you. He went out to the airport, gave up there because there were too many people.
Then he
went over to the front
block,
and that's where he was all set, was in good position. And then, remember the Mounties, and we knew they did this, that son of a bitch Trudeau did it. They moved the demonstrators right up the second day when you went into the west block there.
Yeah.
Moved the demonstrators right up by the door so they could give you a bad time. That ruling Bremer may have saved your life for having done that, because he was there to shoot you.
Sure, you're right.
We sure were.
We knew what he'd done. Not him with that little shirt.
It was this little cabinet guy.
This fellow in the book says those filthy, nasty hippies, if they only knew what they had done. Frustrating. And finally he gives up and he suspects somebody's following him. A guy in a trench coat is following him in Ottawa.
Secret Service.
Yeah. So he leaves.
Taking movies though.
Yeah. So he leaves them. He comes down here.
Something
to
look at my movies. I might have
been in a month.
Yeah, could be.
Came down here and read about the ping pong thing, and he even thought that was a public event.
Well, yeah, and then he left, and as he was leaving, you walked across the street from here to the Treasury, and he missed that. It was on a whim that he headed back for Michigan.
That wasn't a paper this morning.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's in there.
He picks up the
paper, and he sees that on the day that he left here to go back to Michigan on an impulse, you walked across the street. And he thought to himself, now I could have been there. That's in there. So then he gave up on you completely. That's why. And started stalking other people.
Well, he'd been on others earlier.
Yeah.
Then he decided to go for you because he figured, what the hell, if I shoot Wallace, nobody's going to pay any attention. Let's just say Wallace shot. Whereas if I could get the president, then everybody would cheer and jump up and down. There'd be a lot of publicity.
And you know, the first part of this book is buried somewhere. First 150 pages.
Of the diary. Yeah.
And his thought is he'll sell the whole thing and get very rich. He's copyrighted the second part.
He will too. It reads like, you know, any bestseller novel to me today.
Yeah.
It's got all the stuff in it. It's got the drama and the sex and the
suspense.
Weirdness,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Suspense. Everything that sells books sell. For a better sales sell.
Even first last quarter where you can't execute. You get a well, that
I thought we had still had some basis for where I
think for all practical purposes, unless states were enacted now. There are a couple of states where it's non-discretionary. I got good old Congressman John Rhodes here to talk about plastic. I probably better go and service him out there.
Right.
I think we have a woman's liver pretty well neutralized. Get John in position while we'd be all
okay.
Yeah, we've got Republican women that want to raise hell down there. Quarters and all that sort of stuff. But I think we're getting around them. I think it's going to be all right.
It's interesting. Did you see that poll breakdown on abortion?
Yeah.
Women don't favor abortion. Women are opposed to the country as a whole. Men are in favor of it.
I missed that.
But look at the split between now and then.
Right. Well, I'll see you later. Whatever. See you later.
Well, I don't know why they didn't put it. for the same reason we do want it out, I would think they would not want it. They'd much rather have a mystery about where their 25,000 came, something that would grab it out than a command.
Yeah, that's the reason for us to get out. So if you find my street, well, it's being very long. And then truly around there, around there, Democratic. And then the
It's actually beautiful. It couldn't have been a better money source for that particular one than that. It's ideal. It adds one more sort of surrealist atmosphere to this, which I think is also not bad. And the whole thing is sort
it's
of
a Democrat.
It's sort of a bad dream all the way around anyway.
Well, then next week, if you don't mind, we will have the signing ceremony. Otherwise, I'll start doing some thinking about it. I'll be glad to do anything in the way of the
not preparatory type of
thing. We ought to get something studied about California. We ought to really.
You asked about other groups. The one other one that might be worth your meeting is the advertising guy.
I meant the PR, no, exactly. He should have come in. I should
have never met him, and he's, you know, running an hour show. You like him.
Absolutely. Well, you work out to do some of those,
I know.
And let's get that done. Also, we've got to work out the schedule for how long it's going to be.
Let me get it through.